Yes, I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Death can't keep me in the ground. Hallelujah. Did you hear those words? Death can't keep me in the ground. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. What a victorious Sunday. I just feel like the blessings of God are here in this place and that we celebrate a great reason today. You know, I hear people all around me saying, Happy Easter. And they feel comfortable with that word, Easter. I always think that it's better to say Resurrection Sunday. This is the time that Jesus rose from the grave. I don't want the world to get comfortable with Resurrection Sunday. I want them to feel the conviction, the power of God on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Well, Friday was the day that Jesus died upon the cross for you and I. And we're coming to the communion table now, and we want to acknowledge that death. You know, the death came first, then the tomb, then the empty tomb. Amen. So we celebrate that today. I just wondered if the ushers could come forward as we just wait upon you this morning. I want to pray before we pass out the emblems. And as we do, I realize we've got lots of visitors here today. We welcome you here today with us. Just hold on as the emblems are passed. Hold on to them, and at my direction, we'll partake of the bread and the cup together. And for those who need gluten-free bread, we do have that for you this morning. So we want to make sure everybody is accommodated here when we come to the communion table. Amen. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, this is a fantastic, glorious weekend. Lord, we celebrated at the Long Sioux Pentecostal Church the cross. Oh, the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. Lord, that it was that place, that very moment, when we accept you as our Lord and Savior, when we bow our knee, confess with our mouth, and believe in you as the Lord and Savior of all mankind, Lord. What a move that is from darkness to light. And so we thank you, Lord, that it was Friday. But here we are on Sunday. Friday is there, but Sunday is here now. And it's a complete package, Lord, that you gave us. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. But as we come to this table this morning, we do acknowledge, Jesus, what you did at the cross. You died for us. You gave up your life for us. The blood that poured down upon you, Lord. The blood that poured from your body, Lord. It's hard to fathom for us, Jesus, of how much you took for us. But God, you did it for us. And Lord, we praise you this morning and we thank you, Lord. The blessings that we have in this salvation because of what you did at Calvary. So we thank you this morning, Lord. And so as we come to this table, Lord, God, we do not take it lightly, but we take it with sincere faith, Lord, because the table is the table of remembrance. It draws us back to that moment. It draws us back to Calvary, brings us back to the cross, brings us back to that Savior who hung upon the cross for us, the shed blood, the broken body, that moment you gave your life for all of mankind. And here we are 2,000 years later, still saying thank you. Thank you for what you did, Jesus. So as these emblems are passed, Lord, let us take a moment to examine ourselves, Lord. We want to make sure, Lord, that we are in a good condition to partake of the bread and the cup this morning because we do acknowledge you. So, Holy Spirit, if there's something that is just weighing us down, something that's clouding our mind, something that's keeping us from you, Lord, we confess it this morning before we partake of the bread and the cup, Lord. We confess it. Examine us, Holy Spirit, and bring us to that place this morning where we will feel good at partaking of the emblems. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the Betty, would you pass out the gluten-free bread for us this morning? Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Savior, save. Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Hallelujah.
No one I need a fear. Thy power in thine alone. Saved in crimson stain, he is washed it white as snow.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, the words of Paul that we read in 1 Corinthians are words that were after the resurrection. So as they look back and as we look back, what a joy it is for us to know that the cross means so much for us. As we sang this morning, the cross has the final word. It's the finality. It's where it all stopped right there. Then Jesus went to the tomb and rose from the grave. And that's why Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks. When he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that it is such a joy to serve you, to live for you, to know you, to have you in our hearts, our lives. And when we have you in our whole family, what a blessing it is, Lord. When we know that somebody in our family doesn't know you, Lord, that's a heartache, and we pray for them. We want to see our family solid in you, Jesus. So this morning, we even lift up on this Resurrection Sunday our families to you, Lord. Anybody who's not serving you, perhaps some of our kids have left the Lord and wandered back to the world, Lord, we pray over them right now, Lord Jesus, that even on this Resurrection Sunday, somewhere where they are, Lord, that they would feel convicted. Many children are brought up in the church and have heard the Word of God and have seen the things of God, but yet somehow they've turned back to the world. God, bring back people, Lord God. Lord, we're living in a hard day, a cruel day, but you are coming back one day. And Lord, help us to be ready for that moment. Thank you. Thank you for your blessings. And we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Eric, before you go away, come on out here for a sec. Eric shared with me something last week, and I said, "Could you hold on to that till next Sunday?" And he was kind of bubbling away. So, "Oh, that's one of those things you have to hold on to, I guess." But just go ahead and share, because we prayed for Eric a few weeks ago.
How's everybody this morning? Blessed, amen. He's risen, amen. And
a little closer to the mic.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to thank the Lord for his goodness and just his grace and mercies. And I went to the doctors. I had a pastor and you guys prayed for me a while back there for my heart. And I went to the doctors probably about 2 weeks now, I believe it's been. And they looked over my results and all my blood work and everything. And he checked more into the paperwork there. And he says that there's no concerns and my heart's doing well. So praise, I praise God for that, and I thank him for that. As they had said, they found something there that could cause me to have a heart attack there, and I was worried there, so I started to eat better, and I started to get away from all the junk food and stuff. So I lost about 24 pounds there.
Amen.
So
praise
God. I thank God for that. And I also have another report there that about our vehicle there. We had went to Florida there, and the car had started making some noise there. And I thought it was just the bushings getting dried out from a different temperature. You know, we went there, it was warmer and stuff. And so I put some grease on there, and it stopped squeaking. So I was like, thank you, Lord, it wasn't nothing serious. And we got back here, and probably about a week ago, started doing the same thing. And took it to the car shop, and they told me when they put it up on the hoist there that the ball joint fell out. And I was like, wow. And I told my wife, you know what, I said, I'm so thankful that the Lord was looking over us because we were heading 80 some 90 miles an hour on that freeway, you know, and the ball joint was bad. That tire could have fell off, and then it would have been serious. So, but I thank God, you know, for him and his angels that looked over us there and back home, you know. So, and the price was kind of expensive, and he looked at two different prices, and it was still kind of high. We said, well, we need it done, and we went to get a bite to eat and came back. He says, I found you a cheaper price. So the Lord was in the midst of it all, so I'm thankful for that, and I just want to give him praise.
Praise God. Amen. Thanks, Harry. Amen. Praise God. And I'd like to just come down to this fellow over here. Wasn't very nice for George, was it?
It was exciting.
It was exciting, yeah. It was exciting for sure. But we had a good service. And George, it's nice to see you here today. Anything you want to say today?
No, there's a reason and a purpose for everything. We don't know always, you know, why God allows things to happen. But I just thank God for last week and praise him I'm here. Amen.
Father, thank you so much for George, Lord. He's got cracked ribs. Every part of his body is probably aching and going through this motion of healing. But here he is in church the Sunday after. Thank you, Lord God. Many people would stay at home for weeks perhaps and say, oh, I'm not going back to church till I'm healed. But here he is in the house of God. Thank you, Lord God, for the blessings that we have in you and the purposes and plans that you have for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? If you can unblack the screen there for me, Amanda, that would be great. Kids can head off to Sunday school. They are going into the youth room today. They're going to compete to be a youth today, so they're going to have a great time. Amen. Should I do this? This is a song I heard many, many years ago. And I'm not very well polished in it, but the words are very meaningful to me. And it goes like this. If I had seen the sunset, the day Jesus died, and felt the glow of the sunrise as that tomb was open wide, would I have known him, and would I have seen that you were more than just a man. You are Lord to me, Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me. Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So is he Lord to you? Is he Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's always nice to recall some of the tunes that we've known over the years and are blessed with. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. What a blessed time it is for you and I to come before the Lord and come to church. And we welcome each and every one of you here today. And trust that you feel right at home in church. Amen. Feel like you're sitting in a lazy boy. Now, don't go to sleep, but enjoy and be comfortable. Well, let the Word of God do something in us, okay? Let something happen in our lives today that would bring us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when we come to church, we should be asking God, Lord, I just want to get a little closer. You know, we just don't come to church here to put in a check mark or something else while we come here. We come here because we are so deep in love with what Jesus did for us on the cross, the empty tomb. We are so enamored and so much infatuated with the Lord Jesus Christ that we can't do anything else but live for Him. That's where we should be in our life. And so I trust that that's where you are this morning and that you just want to be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to talk about the power of the resurrection today. And it worked so far. We want to understand that the resurrection has some fantastic power of which I don't think that we've really fully tapped into in this life. We are walking in these flesh and blood bodies and trying to cope with life the best we can. But as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. And I really believe this morning that if we would get to know Him a little better today, we would understand the deep, deep part of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have never been risen from the grave. We have never come back to life. Some people have had an operation table and they've gone to, you know, dead for perhaps a couple of seconds or something. You know, they were pronounced dead but came back to life. Maybe that was so, but there's nothing in any one of us that has ever experienced the resurrection power of what Jesus went through that grave for you and I to experience. So, if I could bring us to a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to conclude today. Wonderful time we've had over the last few weeks of going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So that's where we're going to go. And I've got some of the scriptures up here for you, of which you can see. This print is small, so I trust that you've got your own Bible. Now, I've got up there starting at verse 54. I want to go back and start at verse 50 if I could. So if you have your Bibles, I'll be picking it up, and you'll see it on the screen when we hit verse 54. But I want to go back to verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you allow me to do that this morning? You won't get mad if I have some of the scriptures not up there for you. You won't get mad and leave church this morning, will you? That's good. Amen. You're all staying here. That's good. Amen. Verse 50. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. He says this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And so we pick it up on the screen now. "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Cornwall Pentecostal Church, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Father, bless the word to our hearts this morning. May we be excited in the church today. May we glean something. May we gather some fruit today from the Word of God. May it change us. May our eyes go to your direction, Lord, off the things of this world, off the circumstances that we face and go through, but wholly upon you, Jesus. May we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, it says in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, "The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed." Yes, that's a good saying to get into our vocabulary, isn't it? This is our day, not our, the letter R. Now, as I started thinking about our day, you know, I started thinking that, you know, out on the street every week we put out those blue boxes that say to reuse, reduce, and recycle. But this is not anything about this. This is Resurrection Sunday. Amen? The greatest day in the year for the church to celebrate. You see, all of us, one day, unless the rapture happens, we're all going to die. You know, admit it. Come on, I know some people out there in the world go, oh, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I want to live, I want to live. You know, all of us will die. But the promise of total victory over death, over the grave, over the sins of Adam and Eve, of which we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all because of Jesus in the triumph over the grave, the empty tomb that he did for you and I. Praise God. Can you say some praises this morning? Amen. I like a little bit of noise in church today. Amen. A little bit of noise. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, maybe you've been quiet for the other 50-some Sundays or days of the year, but get a little noisy today. Would you do that for me? Amen. It just might get me going, you know, a little bit stronger here. You know, this is a great subject for this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, because we are dealing with about his resurrection, which really to you and I is of the utmost importance for us as Christians, the utmost importance to us as Christians, because what he did, we will experience. What he did, we will experience one day. We follow Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. What he did, one day you and I will experience. Do you believe that today? He is risen.
Amen.
Amen. You see, I really believe that in our world right now, Jesus is very much a controversy. He's a controversy. Everything about him, what he is, what he came to do, what happened when his time was here on earth, what happened at the cross, what happened, and no doubt the hardest for many to believe, is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, everybody can believe that somebody died 2,000 years ago, but people say, I don't know if I can believe in the resurrection. That sounds a little far-fetched for me. You know, being raised from the dead and coming back to life, why? Because everybody believes in the sense of, in this world right now, that at the grave, it all ends. It stops right there. When you're dead, you're dead. That's how they believe. That's what that David what's his name there? I talked about a few weeks ago, said, thank God that we, you and I are liberated though, that we, from those thoughts, we are a new creation. You know, when you become a new creation, you get a new life, a new thought, a new process of life, a new walk, new mindset, new breath, new everything like that, new eyes, new hearing. Everything becomes new. Everything is different from what we used to be like when we were living in sin. We've got rid of those old thoughts, the old things that we had in our life. We've got new life. Jesus died, rose again. He gave us new life. He's coming back again. Are you ready for him? Are you ready? See, today we complete our time in 1 Corinthians 15, and I just love these last few verses, and Paul used them, I'm sure, to complete a thought about the resurrection. If you go through this whole chapter 15, right down to the very last verse, you'll find out that everything is dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with all the people that saw him, everything that they needed to get back into the faith. Sometimes you and I can get out of the faith. We have to come back to the place and understand that Jesus rose from the grave. We Christians, I love that we have symbols. Look on top of the communion set. Don't you see that cross there? Isn't that beautiful? We have symbols to bring us to worship in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about symbols on the drums either. I'm talking about the symbols that you and I see to bring us to a deeper way of life. Symbols. The world is filled with them. Everywhere we go, we see symbols, roadside signs. And if you don't know what they are, they hardly ever put words on the signs out there on the road. You have to understand what they mean. You ever seen that car with the kind of the squiggly line underneath it? What does that mean? Slippery when wet. You ever seen this moose standing up on the sign? You know what that means? Be careful, there's moose coming. You know, we see all these signs, they're symbols. Handicapped parking, you know, slippery when wet, moose territory, deer, etc. But in the Bible, when you come to the Bible, there's all kinds of symbols that could be an object or a person or a practice or a saying which represents to us a spiritual reality. Some symbols may be unclear, but others are powerful and obvious and representations of spiritual truths to us. For instance, if you were to go back to the Old Testament and the blood was spilled on the Jewish altars, I mean, as you read that, you can perhaps see it as you read it. You imagine it. You see an altar. You see the blood being poured out. And it was a terrible truth, but the wages of sin is death. And so God was putting back in the Old Testament the understanding that an animal died, blood was applied, and you see the blood and you understand the blood was there. But it also showed that there was an access because there was a substitute for you and I. And that's what God was showing to us as the blood of the animal, the lamb or the goat or the bull, whatever it was they were placing on the altar. God was showing to us that there is a substitute for you and I. So a family would come to an altar and they would cut the throat of that little lamb, that sheep, and they would take it and pour out the blood upon the altar. And it recognizes to us that the sin is a deep hurt in the heart of God. God cannot stand to look on sin. He doesn't want us to live in sin. He doesn't want us to be sinners. He wants us to be free. So he showed us that just by that blood, that symbol of the blood being poured out, and yet that little lamb being poured into his life force, it became a substitute for you and I. Thank God. God would accept a substitute. And the full meaning of that symbol is only fully realized in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for you and I at Calvary. Thank God. And Hebrews tells us that all the symbols and all the practices and all those things that we read in the Old Testament were merely a copy or a pattern or a blueprint of the things to come in reality. Isn't that nice? So the tabernacle and all its furnishings are symbols to us of the spiritual realities. Amen? He is risen. So when we come to this Bible, don't we want to look for the obvious that is shown to us, the spiritual truths that we may be symbolized to us in some respect, but open to us in all reality? I believe that many symbols are very important to us when we cannot take them for granted in our spiritual life. Amen? Easter is filled with all kinds of symbols. You just go to the mall. Go into Laura Secord. And you'll see a symbol. Bunny. Here comes Peter Cottontail. Put on your old gray bonnet. The blue ribbon on it, and we'll hitch old Dobbin to the sleigh. You know, all those things that we put around Easter, you know, Easter eggs or bunny. But Easter is not about a bunny or an egg or an egg hunt or anything else. You will not find that you have to hunt for any eggs in church today. Amen? You don't have to look around for chocolate because it's not there. But I want to let you know who is here, and that's the Lord Jesus. So this Easter is all about a cross. This Easter, this time, is all about a crown of thorns, a sign above a cross, and many other things of which we've seen and realized as we read the Word of God. And all these things that we read about, all those things that we picture in our mind, they bring us back to that realization of all the things that Jesus, what He was for us and what He did for us for this whole wide world. Thank God that when we come to the Word of God, we see all these symbols. And I'm glad when I come into a church, I'm glad when I come to a church or go to any church and I see a cross at the front. Amen? There are too many churches these days that are putting down crosses or hiding them or doing something with them so they don't offend people. But I want to let you know, if that cross is ever taken down, this pastor will leave this pulpit. I tell you, I want that cross there because it's a symbol of what Jesus did for you and I. Praise God. I'm glad that a church has a cross there because and it's an empty cross. Jesus is off the cross. He's no longer on the cross. And if a church omits the people, cannot understand the importance of what Jesus did for us to give us that salvation, we need the cross. If you can't see me, look at the cross behind me. Look at the cross. This is all about Jesus, what He did for you and I. Amen? So I go to the Bible, the most expensive metal known to all of our world, and I see on the TV all the time. Have you ever seen those ads about buy gold? The world money system is going down. Buy gold. I told Betty the other day, you know, if you have to go to the supermarket and money's gone and everything else, just walk in with a bar of gold. I mean, that's crazy. Can you eat a bar of gold? Can you do that? I mean, If everything's going down, I think the gold's going down too. I don't place my stake in a chunk of gold or anything else that the world has to offer. Throw away the paper money and all that kind of stuff, but trust in Jesus. Amen? So as I look at all the gold in the Old Testament that God was putting all over the furnishings of that tabernacle system, the gold that covered, the gold that was over things, so that people would see that. And it was trying to make them know that the tabernacle is a very costly place. It's a very place that gold was laid over it, and it's a place where the presence of God is. But as I look at all that gold, I can't help but realize that you and I are precious gold to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung upon that cross, he treated us like something very rich to him. He died for us. He gave his breath for us. He gave everything up. He gave up the ghost. He died upon that cross, shed blood, spear in his side, the crown of thorns on his head, because we were absolute gold to him and he wanted to get us back to himself. Thank God for the symbol of gold in the Old Testament. God still uses symbols, and the symbol that most frequently serves as a bridge between God and the lost humanity is a symbol called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know the people out there, they may not come to church, but they will see you in the workplace. You are a symbol to your workplace. You are an entity out there in this lost world. And so God says, I'm going to send the symbol out. I'm going to send you out into the whole wide world. You're going to be light for me. They won't trust in me as the light. They'll trust in you because you're the bearer of the light. You're the bearer of the good news. You're the ambassador. You'll take it with the feet of the good news that you are taking into this whole wide world. And so I believe that God represents you and I to this whole wide world. Amen? And as we identify with Jesus, not only at salvation, but we also look to and at the Lord Jesus Christ for the resurrection. Praise God. See, our resurrection is symbolized by looking at Jesus. By looking at Jesus. We have to look to him. He is as what Paul says here in the earlier verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he is the first fruits. He's the first fruit. He's the first to go through this very power of the resurrection. What a great symbol that is. Hallelujah. Are you looking forward to that day when Christ comes? Either we will go up from the grave or we will go up from the place where we are, whether we're at our work or in the supermarket or where we are in this world when Jesus comes back, and I believe it's very soon. You know, it's really interesting what happens. Could I play for you a little bit? You know, our world is really nuts. And I was sitting last night. Does anybody watch Fox News? Is this microphone on, Joanne? No. I better turn it up because you won't be able to hear from my phone. I thought this was really wild. Anybody ever heard of a guy by the name of Jesse Waters? Jesse Waters, he does Waters World. You know, he does really interesting thing. Well, last night he decided to go out on the streets of New York and he wanted to ensure that everybody knew about Easter. So he asked people a question about Easter, what they thought. Because, you know, we're living in a crazy world, aren't we? So I'm just going to, I don't know how well this will go over, but listen to some of the things. Picture this guy, Jesse Waters, walking out on the streets of New York.
It's somewhat warmer, and Easter's tomorrow. That perfect trifecta means Waters World is hitting the streets to see what people really know about the meaning of Easter. What big holiday is coming up?
I know St. Patrick had passed.
What are you doing on Sunday?
I'm not sure. Why, what's going on?
You gonna go out on any hunts?
Oh, no. Never been hunting, not really interested. Oh, you mean because it's Easter. Oh,
Easter, my man Jesus. What happened on Easter?
Apparently, Jesus was born.
He came from up above. I can't remember.
Christ arose again.
It's the resurrection of Jesus the second time? Yeah. The second time.
The second time.
He's resurrected twice.
Yeah.
What do you think Jesus looked like?
Very handsome guy.
Well, they said he had
He's not the white version that we look at, the Anglo-Saxon version.
Jesus isn't white?
No, he's not white.
What did Jesus look like?
Middle Eastern.
Was Jesus Muslim?
He might have been. Didn't know him personally. I'm assuming he was darker skin.
Jesus had a nice tan.
Yeah, he definitely had a nice tan. Carbon fiber back in the day, like, there was no sunscreen.
Dad, you're so sunburned.
I can't move because it hurts too bad.
Why do they call Good Friday, Good Friday?
Last dinner, maybe?
Last supper?
Last supper, yeah.
Does everybody want soup? Please, we must talk. This may be our last supper. Hey, it's my first order.
What does Good Friday mean in your opinion?
Nothing.
What?
I don't shop.
You don't shop?
No.
I think you mean Black Friday.
Whatever.
What happened on Good Friday?
Jesus was hung, hammered to the cross.
Why was Jesus crucified?
For rotten food.
That's one way to put it. What do you like to eat on Easter?
Chocolate. Shake Shack.
Ham, turkey sometimes, collard greens.
These are a few of my favorite things.
I trust that you heard some of those things. You know, people do not really understand what is going on Easter. And it's sad to hear of all those things that I listened to last night. I hope that you heard some of the things. I mean, Good Friday, oh, we don't get to shop anymore. You know, Resurrection Sunday, isn't that the time Jesus rose a second time? Like, some of the stuff that people have out there in the world. That's why we're here. That's why you go out into the world. And that's why we're supposed to go out there. That's why Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ being raised from the dead was something that Paul was seeing and identifying with. It was a symbol that he wanted in his life, the power of the resurrection. He could see it. He could sense it. He could feel it. I just want to know that power of the resurrection. If you remember Paul, he was the one who went after the church and threw them in jail if anybody believed in Jesus Christ. But here he is now on this side of the cross, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I just want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know the resurrection power. Our world is so opinionated. They were all opinionated when Jesus came, and they failed to look at the Bible. They failed to look at what life was throwing their way through the one and only Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I really appreciate this Lee Strobel, and we're going to be starting this Bible study on Wednesday night. He was a very opinionated man. If you saw the movie, The Case for Christ, he was against his wife who got saved, who came saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're starting this Bible study, and I really am going to enjoy it because it's to help us get by our opinions about who Jesus is, and help us to get down to the facts and the truth of the matter and understand what it is. And I believe that Jesus wanted to teach the people about the kind of Messiah he was, the one who was far different from all their expectations and all their opinions. As you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 58, you'll see some really important things here that Paul wanted to get across to the church. So this morning, could I aggravate you? No? They say if you get aggravated, you get hungrier for lunch. So if I could aggravate you this morning, and perhaps some opinions are here today that are really weird, and I hope that we can get past some of those weird opinions and get down to some really basic bare base tax truth here that we can get us a little closer to the depth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The resurrecting power of the Holy Spirit. There's a great verse in Romans chapter 8, two verses, and it says this, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You see, this verse is very blatant. And as you look at it, you may not see it, but as I said, I want to aggravate you. And I want to get you to look at some of the things that that sometimes we read through the Word of God and we don't look so closely at them, but we need to zero in on some things that you and I have an experience in our own life. Because we need to see this, that it's very important. Number one is the cause of death is sin. Did you see that up there? The body is dead because of sin. Sin was the death of the body, the soul. If you go back to the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll see that Paul talked about why we walk around in death. It's because of Adam and Eve. They went and took of the fruit, and they caused the separation from God. They allowed sin to come into this world. They died the death, and you and I are living like Adam and Eve in this world. We can't do anything about it. It's the curse of all mankind. It's the way that we're living in the curse, but somebody came to broke the curse. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. So the cause of death is sin. But here's the mystery of life, if you read in those verses. The spirit of life is because of righteousness. Did you see that? Spirit of life is righteousness. Read it up there on the screen. See, the Spirit brings life because it brings the soul of the believer into the righteousness or the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we get into that righteousness, we're getting back away from the death of sin, and we're coming into the life that what God wants us to have. He that is joined unto the Lord is of one spirit, if you were to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And consider where the Holy Spirit abides in this. If that same Spirit, the Spirit that raised up Jesus, dwells in you. Did you get that connectivity? The Spirit that raised up Jesus dwells in you. Can you imagine that this morning, that you and I are sitting in church? Here we are. Get aggravated for a minute, because that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Maybe you didn't know that this morning. Maybe you had some other opinions. Maybe somebody said, well, I don't believe that, or anything else. You heard some teaching that was off the wall or anything else. Read the Word of God. Sometimes it aggravates. Sometimes it gets us to meditate, but we need to get into the Word of God. Amen? So the Spirit that raised up Jesus dwells in you. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, but let the promise of the Father, which you have from Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to leave you with. I'm departing, but he will come. Isn't that good? I like the teaching of the Word of God. It aggravates us at times. It really gets us deep into the Word of God, but that's what God wants us to understand. And that's what the Acts shows us. The church needed to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, because in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead came at the day of Pentecost and filled them with the power. The power. They had the resurrection power. Do you have the resurrection power this morning? And also, it says in the very first words, if Christ is in you. That's the condition. Are you aggravated yet? If Christ is in you, then it is only obvious that because of the relationship we have, the Lord Jesus Christ, it enables us or brings us also into that relationship, not only with the Lord Jesus Christ, but with Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If Christ is in you, and he went to the right hand of the Father, and it stands to reason that if he left, he sent the Holy Spirit. So if Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen? Think also about this, of the power of the Holy Spirit. He raised up Jesus from the dead. He shall also quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. Isn't that nice? Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. This corruptible must put on incorruption. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 says, for we who are in this tent groan. Ribs. Leg. You know, I've been having problems with my knee lately. I don't know. Maybe I've been walking the dog too much. I don't know. Betty, could you start walking the dog by yourself? Oh, I'm older than you, you know. You have to respect your elders. You know, hallelujah. You know, for we who are in this tent groan. We hear it all the time. Well, I'm not doing too well, but I came to church. That's a groan. We come into church with all of our groans, but that's not what it's talking about. We groan. Being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Don't you like guarantees? Hallelujah. Last week we were in the kitchen, and we opened the microwave door, and we closed it, and I pushed the button, And it kept going and kept going. It wouldn't shut off. Wouldn't shut off. I had something in there and I could see it starting to boil and start pouring. It wouldn't shut off. And so I pulled the plug and I thought, maybe if I just pull the plug, it will reset itself. Didn't reset itself. Plugged it back in and just started going the whole time. I said to Betty, I said, I think our guarantee is done. Our warranty is done. I don't know how long it was guaranteed for, but I think it's shot. You know, so we had to go shopping for a new microwave this week so Betty could keep me fat, you know. Amen. So praise God. Don't you love the Word of God? Let me say that the last few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 are sounding this high note. It's finishing on, it's like a crescendo. It's a buildup of a song. I always like it here when these guys, like, you know, they start singing. And Miles always tells them, you know, I'll just sing the first verse. You keep quiet. They'll bring the bass in on the second or third verse. Do this and do that and get it just kind of building. You know, and just kind of get it built up so that when we get to that part of the song, like, we're, yeah! Whoa, yeah. Oh, isn't Jesus good? You know, we kind of get to that place where we just want to praise God. Good worship leading. Amen. Hallelujah. Gets us to that crescendo. But I believe that's the same thing that we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You go reading through then, all of a sudden you're getting down to this last, and it's talking about the grave, and there's no sting anymore. There's all this stuff. You know, we're going to be the winners. Amen. We're going to be the winners. So I like when we get down to there. And as I read these verses, you can almost hear the Spirit of God. You can almost hear the Spirit of God laughing at the grave. Can you hear it? And if he's laughing at the grave, you know what we should be doing? That's right. Laughing at the grave. Laughing at the grave. I mean, that's the way it is. What do we have? Like, I mean, as you read this, but thanks be to God, verse 56, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need victory this morning? Did you come in here feeling a little down, but you need some victory today on this Resurrection Sunday? I'm not going to give it to you, but the Word of God will give it to you. If you read the Word of God and let it aggravate you and get you going, it's going to give you the victory. What do we have the victory over today? What do we have the victory over today as we celebrate on this Resurrection Sunday? Well, number one, oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. We have victory over sin. We have victory over sin. Stop walking around like sin has got you. You have got sin and it's victorious over it. Amen. You've conquered it, not because of who you are or what you've done or because you're a pretty good guy or girl, anything else. It's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have victory over sin. See, death for us is as common as birth. Amen. You came into this world once and you're going out once. Amen? That's the way it is. You came in and you're going out. Just as sure as gravity holds us down to this world and as uncertain as a thief may break into our house, but the Christian death is stingless. I love to see some bees that can't sting. Amen? Whenever I see a bee, I run. I say, Betty, get in front of me. You know. But the Christian death is stingless. For the sting, if you hate stings, the sting of sin was buried in the crucified Christ at the cross where he died for you and I. He took away the stinger. Amen. And he took the sting out of all that. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross. The strength of sin is the law, but his obedience unto death on our behalf met the just demands of the righteous Father. It was settled once and for all. Jesus died. The blood was shed. It was accomplished. Price paid. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Hallelujah. The strength of sin is the law, but thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace, says Romans 6, verse 14. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 17. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Hallelujah. Victorious. Aren't you glad for victory today? Victory over sin. Victory over sin. You're free. You're clean. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you know him as your Savior, you're free of sin. Praise God. But we also have victory over mortality. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Praise God. These bodies of ours are to share the victory of the Savior's resurrection when he comes again. That's why we just read in 1 Corinthians 11 when we're at the communion table, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Amen? Then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it says in verse 52, "The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, those who are still alive, we who are still here, shall be changed. For we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Verse 44 in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "He is longing for that house which is from heaven, the new abode in the Spirit. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Our resurrection bodies may differ a little bit in radiance, according to who we'll look like one day, according to the lives we've lived. And it says in verses 41, "For one star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? Amen. Victory over immortality. Amen. All this mortal stuff down here. We've got victory over death. Yes. Oh, death, where is your sting? Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8 says, "He will swallow up death." Can you just see that? Great big swallow. "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." That's like a "thus saith the Lord." Amen. When God speaks, you better listen, because he may aggravate you for a while. But he gets it across. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Aren't you glad that Jesus set us free from bondage? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says, "But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death," praise God, "abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. But another thing, we have victory over the grave. The King James Version, it says in the New King James Version, "O Hades, where is your victory?" But in the King James Version, it says, "O grave, where is your victory?" See, John chapter 5, verse 28, and I like reading about the graves getting open. How about you? John chapter 5, verse 28 says, "The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." I like that. You listening? Praise God. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Revelations chapter 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power." Praise God. Aren't you glad for the word of God today that speaks to us? You know, I cannot say it any clearer, but according to this Bible that you and I read, the resurrection and the power that comes with it seems to be this big deal. Amen? Seems to be this big thing that you and I need to understand, that we're just not living here in the here and now. We're just not living for today. We're just not living for this week or to get a paycheck or retire or to have a vacation or anything else. I mean, all those things are nice while we're down here, but this isn't why we live. We live because we live in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The power of the resurrection. See, to make a strong point of the importance of the resurrection, I love going to some of the zeroing in stories of which you will read in the Bible. And you kind of zero in on them. And Jesus kind of opens up the scriptures to show us something of what this power of the resurrection really means. And as you were to go back to John chapter 11, by a guy by the name of Lazarus had died. And he was in the grave. And Martha and Mary, they'd sent for Jesus and they wanted him to come because they somehow felt there it would be good to have him there. Maybe they thought he could do something with Lazarus before he died or even just a few moments after. But it says in John chapter 11, here we are zeroing in on this very account, this very moment when Lazarus is in the grave, and here's Martha and Mary in attending and doing all the things that they do every day. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. I don't know what she was doing there. Maybe she was working. Maybe she was crying. I don't know. But it says, then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see where Jesus is taking us here? But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now listen to this. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. We sang that song this morning. Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Hallelujah. What a great realization that she got there in that very moment. Amen. Hallelujah. He lives. He lives. You know, I had to pull up this because it's, have you ever heard of the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or all those creeds that go around that are really, they're traditional, but they are the solid bedrock of how people many, many centuries ago put their faith into action because they needed to get the word out. They needed to have people understand who this Jesus is, what Jesus is all about, what he did then, what he did at the cross, what he did at the grave. So let me just read you this in conclusion this morning. And this is the Nicene Creed. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us, man, and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke of the prophets. And I believe in one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Hallelujah. I think that's pretty cool. I saw this poem, and it goes like this. We hold so close to our hearts the cross where Jesus died, but so much more than the blood-stained cross is that Jesus came back to life. The stone's been rolled away. The tomb lay open and bare. They looked for him, and the angel said that he is no longer here. Oh, what joy they must have felt to see him just once more, to eat with him, to drink with him, to receive him back as Lord. So much did he accomplish through his death upon the cross, and in his rising from the dead, he reconciled us back to God. Nothing else could bridge the gap that sin had wrenched apart. Now we can freely go to God and receive Christ in our hearts. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you so much for the presence of Holy Spirit here today. God, to know the power of the resurrection, to pray and say the same thing that Paul said, to know you in the power of your resurrection. Lord, everything is about you today. Everything comes in contact with you, Jesus. There is no truth that could ever be revealed without you because you are the living word. So God, we come to you this morning. Maybe the word could aggravate us, but Lord, I pray that the word of God would bring us close to you. This morning, Lord, let our hearts be so in tune with you that we shall not fear death. We shall not fear anything that this world has to offer to us. It's all under the blood, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that one day we are going to be with you in paradise, like you said to that criminal on the cross when he confessed you that you didn't deserve to be there. And God, we come before you right now, and I pray if there's anybody here in this place who has never confessed their sins, never addressed the issue of where they are in their life, they are a sinner and don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray this morning this would be their day. This would be their resurrection day from sins. The victory that Jesus is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Victory over the sin. Victory over the power of sin. Victory over the lies of sin that have come upon us. That we have the freedom, we have the joy, we have the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this morning if somebody's here that needs to do that, Lord, let them do that this day. Let them make their business with God right with you, Lord God, in this moment, Lord. Let them not hesitate any longer, but come to you, Lord, and confess you as their Lord and their Savior and walk in the newness of life today. Thank you, Lord God, for this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, God, for the power of the resurrection. Thank you, God, for the joy in the church, this church and other churches. Thank you for the symbol of the cross. Thank you for the symbol of the empty tomb. Thank you for all the joys that we have in you, Lord Jesus. And it's a joy to live for you, Lord. Every day I live with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I thank you, Lord God, for the blessings that we have in you. Amen. 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 Worship team, could we do that song? Hallelujah. We're going to sing Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, which I put up there a little while ago. This is an old chorus. I've pushed these people up here to do this song, and they are going to do it. Thank you very much. I hope I didn't push you too much. Amen. But this is a neat old chorus. Betty and I have known this chorus for perhaps 30, 40 years. They don't know because they're young. Amen. Thank you. Young in the Lord. Amen. But this is a chorus that is so beautiful. And if you give me the starting note. If that same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, well, He will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in you. How many have heard that before? Anybody? Put your hands up high. They are the ones who are going to sing good and loud right now. And if you want to get close to one of them, you'll hear the words coming out loud and clear. Let's sing it again because it's so beautiful. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, if the Spirit dwell in you, well, He shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, well, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you,
get up here.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you, well, He shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, well, He shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you,
you're getting it.
Well, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, well, He shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, well, He shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you,
same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwell in you, dwell in you. Well, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwell in you, dwell in you. Well, he shall quicken your mortal body if that Spirit dwell in you.
Resurrection Sunday. Wow. If you're going to a restaurant after this, you better go in there with a smile on your face. And people are going to say, how come you're so happy? How come I'm so happy? We just were at church and celebrated Jesus coming out of the grave. He's alive today. Hallelujah. You'll get anything you want at the restaurant really fast. Honest. They'll try to get you out of there quickly. Amen. Good to be in church today. Good to celebrate Jesus. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you love us so very much that you sent your son Jesus into this world to die for us on a cross, a place where he shouldn't have been. But God, he went there for us. And so, God, we thank you. Thank you for Friday. But God, the hope we have in you, the blessings we have in you are on this day. That blessed hope, the life that we have in you, the life that you showed, risen from the grave, showing yourself to all the disciples, showing yourself to people. 500 plus people saw you at one time. Paul saw you. Oh God, so many people saw you. And we realize, Lord God, that this is a truth and it's factual. It's documented, Lord. So thank you for Resurrection Sunday. This is why the church is alive, because you are alive. So we thank you today, Lord. Let that life just radiate from us, Lord. Everywhere we go, let life be the life in Jesus for our life, Lord. So bless us as we go. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God